Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to our Blessed Mother on this, the celebration of her birth, September 8th, conveniently located 9 months after the Immaculate Conception. We are welcoming Mary, the promise of new life and new hope, here again into our world. We're celebrating her birth. And here on the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, Patrick Conley with you again. Good to be with you. If you're listening to the rebroadcast on Saturday and Sunday, don't worry, you can still celebrate the birth of Mary. Actually, in our household, we do birthday octaves. We don't just celebrate on one day, but we, you know, carry on the celebration for 8 days, as, you know, as the Church teaches us to do. So that's just a little tip on how you might be able to extend some celebration. It is a great and glorious day, and just reflecting a little bit on the birth of Mary, the birth of our Lady, that is just something that all the more focuses our hope, right? Think about it. Use your imagination and think about it, that in some probably unknown place, just like our Lord, a little girl was born this day, and although probably very few people in and around her actually knew that, actually were celebrating that in terms of the entirety of the world. Think about how the heavens were wrapped in wonder at this birth, knowing what was to transpire through her and knowing what had already been done through her Immaculate Conception. What a wonderful, wonderful, hope-filled day. And in fact, in the Eastern Church, many Eastern Catholic rites, as well as in the Eastern Orthodox Church, this actually marks the beginning of the liturgical year. You know, we start our liturgical year traditionally in Advent, but I think, you know what, it's perfectly understandable why, because both Advent and the birth of Our Lady are places of hope that remind us to hope in what the Lord will do. So my question to you this morning is, what are you going to give the Blessed Virgin for a birthday present? What are you going to give Mom for a birthday present? And I would suggest, if I can make a suggestion, well, I'm going to anyway, if I can suggest, I would like to say that perhaps a gift of devotion would be exactly what she's looking for, devotion to her. So certainly invoking her prayers, asking for her prayers for specific situations going on in her life. There's so many great, beautiful Marian prayers, of which I'm sure I only know a few, but maybe go back to some of your favorite Marian prayers and invoke the Blessed Virgin in those prayers. Maybe look up some new ones online. Maybe start a new devotional practice to the Blessed Virgin. We're going to have Archbishop Hebda on later in the show to talk about 33 Days to Morning Glory, which is beginning this Sunday, September 10th. So that'll be another way of looking forward and utilizing some devotional practice to prepare us in consecration to our Blessed Mother. So an act of devotion to her, but also an act of devotion, of course, to our Lord, because as we know, Our Lady always leads us to her Son. And as we grow in relationship with her, we also necessarily grow in relationship with him, as she's always pointing the way to her Son. So as we celebrate the birth of the Virgin Mary together, we'll pause and, as always, dedicate this program, this show, to her intercession. And I'd like to also ask that we also dedicate it to some of the things that have been going on, specifically that have been wreaking a lot of havoc in our world today, specifically here in the Western Hemisphere, in the Americas. So I'm thinking especially of Hurricane Harvey, of course, Hurricane Irma, and then this magnitude 8 earthquake that just occurred on the shore of Mexico, and the resulting tsunami, actually, that is beginning to claim lives as well. So let's uphold these people in our prayers as well, specifically as together we do say a Marian devotion prayer that's well known and loved by so many. So let's pray to our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have a wonderful show coming up for us today. We've got a couple of guests in studio here to talk about Archdiocesan Youth Day. So do you know some youth? You got some youth in your lives? Are you yourself a youth and planning on attending? We've got Pat Millay and Alex Schindler joining us to talk about Archdiocesan Youth Day. After that, we're going to be talking with William Simon. He is going to be talking to us about the whole great Catholic parishes that we've started. We started highlighting at the beginning of each month here on the Rediscover Hour. And then, as I said already, we're looking forward to a conversation with His Excellency Archbishop Hebda to talk about this Marian consecration leading up to October 13th, the centennial anniversary of the appearances of Our Lady at Fatima. So a great show on deck for us, and we are going to launch into it right after this with Pat Millay and Alex Schindler on Archdiocesan Youth Day. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Steve Smith with Modern Roadways Company. We install, patch, and seal driveways and parking lots. We've been doing it in the Twin Cities since 1953. You heard us talk about all blacktop will show considerable deterioration after a few years. The best way to correct and preserve asphalt is with a seal coat. We apply liquid asphalt that penetrates and rejuvenates your driveway or parking lot. If your driveway needs a total replacement, we can do that too. We serve the entire metro and estimates are free. We are offering a discount to Relevant Radio listeners for jobs over $1,000, and we can even make your discount into a Relevant Radio donation. Call us at Modern Roadways for a free estimate for your patching, hot chip, or emulsion seals. We also replace driveways or parking lots. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. I'm Patrick Conley and glad to be joined with you to listen about Archdiocesan Youth Day is what we're going to be talking about. And I'd like to welcome to the studio now two guests that we have. Pat Millay, first of all, is the MC of Archdiocesan Youth Day this year. He's also a Catholic youth minister in his day job, and he certainly has a vocation of ministry to both youth and families. It says here, we'll find out, that he's a dynamic speaker, a gifted musician, and a faithful youth ministry leader as well. Joining him as well is Alex Schindler, who is the Assistant Coordinator of Youth Ministry for the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. She's also the Director of Sacred Music at St. Stephen's Catholic Church in South Minneapolis and a worship leader in and around the Twin Cities. So, Pat and Alex, welcome to the program. Glad to have you with
us. Morning, Patrick.
Glad
thanks
to
for
be
having
here.
Us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, wonderful. So, we are talking about Archdiocesan Youth Day, and it's been a real joy, actually, even just before the program, to get to know you a little bit and also to get to know what Archdiocesan Youth Day is all about. But in case somebody hasn't actually heard about it, what is Archdiocesan Youth Day?
Right. So Archdiocesan Youth Day is an annual event that takes place here in the Archdiocese, obviously geared at youth. Otherwise, it'd be a terrible name.
That's a good point.
The initial vision came from World Youth Day, obviously, that Pope John Paul II started, and it's gone all the way up now through Pope Francis, trying to gather young people and get them to be connected to the Catholic Church, but specifically to the heart of Jesus, too, in the midst of a world that can be opposed to that pretty often. So it's a vision here in the Archdiocese of inviting young people to know Jesus better. So it's an afternoon on October 28th where high school youth can gather. They can pray, they can play. There's all kinds of amazing speakers, great music, great worship. And really, honestly, one of the great benefits is it's an ideal evangelization moment for high schoolers. I know there's a lot of parishes here in the Archdiocese. I know St. Nicholas down in New Market, for example, a more rural parish. They bring their confirmation youth to Archdiocese and Youth Day every year. And it's awesome for a couple of reasons. Number one, especially for a smaller parish, I would say, that maybe doesn't have an opportunity at their home base to gather 100 or 200 young people together.
Right.
It can be tough for Catholic high schoolers to get a sense that this is an okay thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it can mm-hmm. it can be tough to get a sense of energy and life and movement around their faith. So being in a room with more than 1,000 Catholic high schoolers is really energizing for young people.
I can imagine, yes. Right?
Oh, it's amazing, yeah.
Draining for somebody like me in middle age, but, right, exactly, but very exciting,
yeah.
Yes.
Different ends of the spectrum.
Right.
Okay, yeah. But then the other great thing is, you know, for a group like that that brings a confirmation youth, I've been told at times that some high schoolers going through confirmation aren't exactly committed to the fullness of the Catholic faith yet. I know, this is shocking information. But really, that's a beautiful thing. That's not a bad thing. That's exactly what we're looking for. That's our target audience is
nice.
Young people that have not made the practice of the faith a priority in their lives, who maybe don't know or believe in a God that loves them, who maybe don't understand what the gospel message is all about. And this is the perfect, very joyful, very holy event to do that.
Nice, nice. And Alex, how long has Archdiocese and Youth Day been going on now?
This will be the 6th year that we've had Archdiocese and Youth Day.
Okay.
So it's gaining some traction.
I was going to say, are you seeing growth in it?
Yeah, there's a little bit of growth every year. So this year we're shooting to have close to 2,000 youth.
Wow.
And their chaperones.
Yes.
Fill up the River Center in St. Paul.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right there in St. Paul.
Yep, at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium.
Nice.
In the Excel Center. So,
nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So give me a sense for, I mean, what's actually going on? What is part of the program? What happens at Archdiocese and Youth Day? Obviously, we have an MC. Obviously, we have some music going on. But what's all involved?
So the day includes anything from Mass and sacraments. So we have reconciliation that happens throughout the whole day.
Nice.
We have Mass with Bishop Cousins this year. Sometimes last year we had Bishop Cousins and Archbishop Hebda join us. And then there's adoration in the evening. That kind of is the capstone of the program. We're bringing in a really great speaker this year, Emily Wilson, who's going to kind of talk about. So every year, Archdiocese and Youth Day follows the theme that the Pope has chosen for the World Youth Day theme. So this year, that theme is He Has Done Great Things For Me. So she's going to kind of tackle the topic, like tackle that in like what, how to look at our lives as like what great things has God done for me.
Speaking of Mary's birthday, it's perfect.
I know.
It's a great theme.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What, you know, it says youth and sometimes we have a general idea of what youth means, but what are the specific ages that Archdiocese and Youth Day is geared toward?
So it's open to current high school students.
Okay.
And really, one of the great benefits is there's a few different points throughout the course of the event where the high schoolers that are there will get to witness the faith of other young people, even young adults.
Yeah.
We'll have some witnesses from some older high school youth, the home team from Net Ministries, who's staying here in the Archdiocese to do their ministry this year.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be involved with some different skits and testimonies, so they'll get a vision of what it means to be a faithful Catholic after high school, which is a beautiful thing. So open to all high school youth, especially the younger high schoolers, like I said, there's a great opportunity for them to kind of maybe hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for the first time in their lives and to get a sense of how they can respond.
Right. So we talked a little bit about, Alex, you were talking about the speaker and the sacraments that are going on. Are there anything like breakout sessions or recreational time or anything like that going on too?
Okay. To both of those.
Yes. All right. Excellent.
So Emily is actually going to give a women's breakout session on relationships with our sisters in Christ, kind of following the theme of the visitation and how Mary and Elizabeth interacted during that scene in the scriptures.
Mm.
She's going to kind of tackle what our relationships with sisters ideally would look like from a scriptural basis. And then for about 45 minutes, we actually have what's called Faith Fest, which is an all-out party in the basement of the River Center. There's games happening. We have vendors down in the basement. Last year, our keynote ended up playing music during that time, too. Wow. So it was a little crazy. You walk downstairs, and it's mass chaos, but it's organized.
I'm guessing it's not like bingo, right? It's
No. Not bingo. We had... So Dunroven came out last year and brought some of their retreat staff. So we had camp games. I forget what.
There was one of the ministries in the Archdiocese that has a specific vision of ministry to athletes, trying to incorporate sports into faith and not letting sports become a god. They had a pull-up bar, so their high schoolers doing pull-ups trying to impress the girls. Like it was pretty amazing, actually. Yeah.
And then the girls jump on and they do like 50 more than
absolutely.
The guys.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Okay. It's a great, I mean, it really is. Especially for someone, like I was saying, that for a young person that is not used to adoration, maybe this is their first experience. For a young person that's not used to worship or to making a day like this part of their lives, it's a really great both and. There's a lot of with the ministry that I do down in Prior Lake. One of the things that we've really learned is that especially younger high schoolers, maybe 9th, 10th grade, a lot of them come into high school oftentimes having a sense that if you're going to be holy, you have to be boring and kind of serious, like all the time, right? Like you're not allowed to laugh.
That's what I'm going for.
Exactly, right, okay. Yeah. And it's a hilarious misunderstanding, and it's easy enough to just point at the life of any saint and mm-hmm. find someone who's incredibly joyful, mm-hmm. even in the midst of incredible suffering, right? So it's great to have an event like this where, of course, there are times to be very very serene, very reverent, very prayerful, and a lot of that is quiet and silent because, as we know, that's where the Holy Spirit can speak most clearly, most mm-hmm. often. Mm-hmm. But that is not the only aspect of a faithful Catholic life. I mean, it's important, actually, to be joyful and to be goofy and to build great relationships like Alex was talking about. Mm-hmm. There's that other side of it that gets celebrated, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what, just curious about past Archdiocesan Youth Days, I'll get it eventually.
That it's a mouthful.
Exactly. Do you call it AYD or anything like? Oh, you do?
AYD.
Oh, I'm going with AYD
so
from
much
now on.
Much simpler.
All right, I can do that.
Don't do AID, though, because then people think you're talking about Aid Mill Road. It gets really confusing. So just, AYD is good.
Very good. Okay, AYD. AYD 2017. So since it's been going on, this is the sixth time, mm-hmm. you said. What have you seen fruit? Have you heard feedback? I mean, what kind of things are you thinking or are you receiving in terms of how is Archdiocesan Youth Day, is AYD accomplishing the purposes that it's meant to accomplish?
So we, at the end of every year, we try and do a poll of some of the youth that have come to get just like what their favorite parts of the day were. Or their experience and overall how it was. And just some of the comments we got last year in particular were like, this was the best day of my life.
Wow.
I can't be the same person after this. Mm. And the highlight is usually adoration, which is surprising.
Really? It is kind of surprising.
Most of, even the adults that's where the highlight comes in of like, that was the best part of the day. Because they get it's an actual moment to really have a personal encounter with Jesus. So adoration isn't just with 1,200, 1,500 people just kind of staring at an altar. Bishop Cousins will take the monstrance and walk around the auditorium. Mm. So Jesus is within 15 feet of every person that's there that day. And it's just a really powerful moment.
You know what? That's really heartening for someone like me who hasn't been involved in AYD in the past to understand, because, you know, you think about, now not to denigrate what you just said, Pat, but I mean, but you think about it in terms of, kids are really enjoying themselves, youth are really enjoying themselves, and you think that it probably revolves around maybe the fun, the games, the laughing, the interaction, the showing off, you know, all that sort of thing. But to hear that it's adoration that is really grabbing their attention, that is a gift. That is God at work right there.
It's always a sign to me of two things. It's similar to AYD. We have some retreats that we host at St. Mike's down in Prior Lake, and at the Quest retreats, that's the response that we get every year from the ninth graders that go through it is their highlight is either adoration or reconciliation.
Wow.
And it tells us two things. Number one, it's a great evaluation, actually, because if that's not the highlight, we're doing something seriously wrong. You know, I mean, the Faith Fest is great and it's got a great purpose and there's a reason that it's there. It's really important, actually. The worship music and the chance to connect with folks from around the Archdiocese, that's all great. But if the highlight isn't Jesus in the Eucharist, then we're missing the boat somewhere.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a great evaluation of the purpose of AYD in the first place, how well we're meeting that vision. And secondly, it's a great reminder that as much as we can trick ourselves into thinking that high schoolers really just want fun and games, they actually want something far deeper than that. You know, a lot of times in ministry, we'll get comments from adults that we need to, you know, have more fun or have more pizza parties or have more ski trips or whatever. And they're all, you know, they mean well, and those are all really great things to do. But the fact is you can go skiing with your friends, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can order pizza any moment of your life. You can't always have a personal encounter with the sacramental Lord in adoration, right? So, if the heart of our young people is yearning for meaning and for fulfillment in Jesus, then that's got to be what we're about in everything we do, including in AYD.
Yeah. So, some very important questions that we need to ask, of course, we need to cover. Number one is, where can people go to find out more? Are you still taking registrations? And
yes.
When is it? How do we find out more?
Yeah, so registration closes mid-October. You have to register as a group, so you would need to go to your parish youth minister or pastor or your high school campus ministry program and try and get a group together or find out another group that's going.
That's interesting. Can you just elaborate on that? Why is that? Why do you need to register as a group?
To have chaperones coming with you.
Oh, I got it.
Is
okay.
The main reason.
Right.
So for the safe environment reasons.
Right. Well, I was just curious. I mean, it makes sense to me, but that you wouldn't want to make this just kind of an individual encounter.
Yeah. Then it's also you want to have an experience that you can take back with the people that you come with.
Right.
Because as fruitful as conversion moments like this are, and as important as they are, they can have, you know, high schoolers a lot of times will talk about a faith high. So if they have this amazing moment with Jesus at AYD, and then they don't have a way to translate that back to their home parish and to make that a consistent experience at Mass every Sunday and to connect with people at their age, to keep growing their faith, then it's not really serving the purpose that we're setting out for.
Right, right. Okay, so finding out more. Anyway,
yep, so you can, your parish youth minister should have more details about it. If not, all the information is on the Archdiocesan website.
Okay.
So archspm.org.
Yep. /AYD.
/AYD, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's
even
got a hashtag.
It does. #AYD17.
We're very hip, Patrick.
Hey, I'm just happy I know what a hashtag is.
There's also going to be a Snapchat geofilter.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It's the hip geofilter thing.
Okay. Well, obviously the hip train has sailed beyond me. Anyway. Okay. So that's how you find out more.
Yep.
So definitely get in touch with a local parish, a youth leader in your local parish or another group that's coming by. Secondly, what would you say to perhaps we've got a listener who's out there who's thinking they may not be a youth themselves, but they might be thinking, okay, I know somebody that this actually might be really good for. Do you have any advice as to how would you invite, especially, Pat, what you were saying about this person who is this youth who's not necessarily into the whole God thing, isn't, you know, but they're, you know, you're kind of slogging it out sort of thing. But how would you invite somebody like that?
There's not many times in my life that I advocate the kind of beg, borrow, steal mantra.
That's probably a good thing.
But it's not a bad approach here. There's a guy that I know who's an amazing, faithful Catholic man now, great father, great, generous Catholic businessman. And he had a kind of reversion to his faith. He had fallen away during college, had kind of strayed in his life. And his dad gave him a Lighthouse Catholic Media CD and said, if you listen to this and don't like it, I will give you $100, right? So his son was like, you know, a young adult at that time. He's like, Dad, I don't want your money, but I'll listen to the stupid CD. And literally that was the beginning of his journey back.
Wow.
You know, for someone who the last thing that they would ever do is spend 7.5-8 hours at a Catholic event, I really would say kind of whatever it takes, really, short of like, you know, kidnapping them and dropping them off at Roy Wilkins, like everything legally within reason.
Okay.
But anything, you know, if there's a sense of, you know, I really care about you, I really want you to at least give this a shot, you know. Listen to what God tries to say to you during this time, and let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think also AYD is set up in some of the pieces of it are set up in a way that you can ask the questions. So we have a Q&A with the bishop where youth can text in questions that might be burning on their hearts. So it can be anything from what's your favorite color to like the deep questions of like, why do we believe God exists?
Right.
And also this year we're adding a little bit more in the apologetics sense. So we're going to have a 5 to 10 minute hitting really hard on the basic apologetics of like, why even believe?
Nice.
So it's an opportunity to not only have all these fun moments, but it is kind of bringing in the, you can come and ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like there's a platform for that here.
Excellent.
It's a great avenue where there's just a place here for everyone. You know, I mean, for the kid who, the highlight of their week is Mass, and they go adoration frequently with their family or with their youth group. There's obviously a place here for them, but there's a place here for the kid who doesn't believe in God, frankly.
I mean, there's
a place for them to ask questions, to be open to what those answers might be, to see other people that are witnessing that faith. It's open for everyone.
Wow. Okay. And so one final question is, how can we pray for you?
Just pray that the Holy Spirit moves the hearts of all the participants that he wants on this at the day is like the main thing.
Okay.
And I'd say praying for both the folks that are involved in putting it on, all the behind the scenes folks, you know, Alex and the team that have put together AYD, the keynote, the musicians, Bishop Cousins, everyone involved. But also for, I mean, obviously, if you know someone going on AYD, that's the perfect person to pray for, to maybe fast for on the day of AYD, or just in general, you know, pick out in your mind one type of kid. Maybe, and pray for that kid. Maybe it's the kid that has been going to Mass with their family every Sunday for their entire lives, but they just don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
Just pick out one type of kid and pray for them that day.
Very good. Alex Schindler, Pat Millay, thank you so much for joining us today on the Rediscover Hour. Great to have you with us. Thank you. We will be in prayer. Thank you, too, for listening as we continue on down the road of this episode of the Rediscover Hour. We're going to be right back with William Simon and Great Catholic Parishes.
Win big this football season with Bridgestone. Now through October 8th, buy 4 eligible Bridgestone tires and you can get a $70 Visa prepaid card by mail. Bridgestone, trusted performance when you need it most.
Get $70 by mail and a Bridgestone Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of 4 eligible tires. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. The Bancorp Bank, member FDIC, expiration applies.
Westside Tire, just west of the Metro on Corcoran, has tires for your car, truck, and SUV today. They'll take care of you.
If you need to get there, Westside will help you get there. I'm Sean Luer of Westside Tire. All of us at Westside Tire can make your daily drives safer and more economical. We'll help you with your basic maintenance, like tires, brakes, and alignments, for better reliability and safety. At Westside Tire, we have tires and brakes to fit your vehicle. Our service people can get you in and out quickly and affordably. Call us at 763-420-2100. Just 15 minutes west of the Metro in Corcoran. Westside Tire will take care of you.
Truth begs to be taken for the next time. All faith is shaken, we find. As all things are made right in time.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again. Enzo Randazzo sitting in for Susanna Boley in the producer's seat. And as always, Paul Sadek joining us as our technical producer, coming to you from the Golden Valley Relevant Radio Studios. So, businessman, professor, and philanthropist William Simon Jr. has been highly influenced by the dynamic and inspiring Catholic parishes he has attended for more than 25 years. In 2012, he founded Parish Catalyst, an organization devoted to researching and supporting the health and development of Catholic parishes. His book, Great Catholic Parishes, looks at his insights in the success stories of 244 vibrant parishes to show what makes them great. And joining us now on the phone here in the Rediscover Hour is William Simon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Yeah, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us. So just give us some idea about what is Great Catholic Parishes all about?
Well, you know, it really all goes back to the parish that I attend and have for the last 27 years with our family in Santa Monica, California, St. Monica's. And we've had, it's had such a profound impact on our family that I just thought, I wonder if there's other St. Monica's out there.
Mm.
And it turns out there are. There are great Catholic parishes all over the country. And that's what the book's about, great Catholic parishes. And that's the reason for the title.
Yeah. So I know we may, you may know this. We've started to feature great Catholic parishes here on this show, on the Rediscover Hour. The first Friday of every month, we're focusing in on some of the things that are going on in the parishes around the Archdiocese here. But what I'm understanding you saying, right, is that just because you didn't make the book or maybe you're not featured on the Rediscover Hour doesn't mean that your parish isn't great.
Is oh, right? Gosh, absolutely. You know, there's over 17,000 parishes, Patrick, in the country. Mm. And, you know, we focused on 244. And I'm positive that there are many, many more vibrant parishes. And, you know, you're absolutely right. The parishes that you focus on in the Rediscover Hour and the parishes that we focused on are just really examples. But there's others.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would we find in looking through your book? I mean, what's the format of the book? How do you share all these things that are going on in these parishes?
Well, just to cut to the bottom line, we found that there are really four areas that are characteristic of vibrant Catholic parishes. Those four areas are: vibrant parishes share leadership, they foster spiritual maturity and a plan for discipleship, they excel on Sundays, and they evangelize. So it's those four things. Mm. And to take a step back in terms of those four themes, when we interviewed our 244 parishes, we interviewed pastors of each of these parishes, Patrick, mm-hmm. and we taped the interviews, we transcribed the interviews with their permission, and we had 3,600 pages of transcripts. We had a base of 31 questions for each interview, and we analyzed those 3,600 pages of transcripts. It took us almost 2 years. We employed very standard academic techniques, and we came up with 49 findings about vibrant parishes.
Wow. And basically that formed this basis of these four characteristics of great Catholic parishes.
Exactly.
Right.
So figure that the 49 findings you can group into four areas.
Yeah.
So under, you know, leadership, we had 13 findings. Under great Sunday experience, you know, we had 12 findings.
Right. And just out of curiosity, how diverse are the parishes here?
They're very diverse. In the back of the book, you can see in the appendix, you know, we did a breakdown of the demographics of the 244 parishes. And coincidentally or providentially, you know, many of us believe there are no coincidences. It's God's way of remaining anonymous.
Right, right.
And it pretty much mirrors the demographics all across the country. So we had affluent parishes, non-affluent parishes, multicultural parishes, you know, homogeneous parishes, you know, cities, suburban, you know, everybody in the middle. So
right. It
was a real mix.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's drill down a little bit into those four categories. So the first one is they share leadership. So can you talk a little bit more? What does that mean?
Well, you know, of the 13 findings in that particular theme, if you were going to boil them down, Patrick, to one word, you would use the word shared. And that's a big change from, you know, I'm 66 years old, and when I was growing up in Catholic school and growing up in my faith, the role for lay people, the old joke was three words: pray, pay, and obey.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, you've heard that, right?
Yep.
And now pastors say, 80% of these 244 pastors said, we got to share leadership with lay people.
Mm.
You know, A, it's a practical necessity because of the decline in vocations, and B, it seems to be God's will because lay people have a lot of skills,
yeah.
You know, whether it be in business, philanthropy, whatever, and so we've got to tap into that.
Right. Okay. And so the great one sign of a great Catholic parish is that they do that. They do just that.
Yeah, they share it, and they might do it. In our findings, we saw that there are different ways of sharing. so that you could use three words in terms of the different ways. One is to collaborate, a second is to delegate, and a third is to consult. Mm. And, you know, that might sound right out of a business school textbook, and you know it is. Mm. Peter Drucker, you know, the management guru, wrote books on how great CEOs lead. And there's different types, you know, just like there's different types of people, there are different types of leaders. And if you group them into these three categories, I think you're going to cover a very large percentage, the collaborators, the delegators, and the consultants.
Mm-hmm.
So we got pastors that like to delegate. We got pastors that would prefer to collaborate. And we got pastors that use a more consultative approach.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So the next up is fostering spiritual maturity. Yeah. What are we talking about there?
Well, I think that this is where I had an intuition or a suspicion or an inkling that this is an incredible opportunity to make a difference in parish life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can all agree, and this was borne out in our research, that the vast majority of people in the pews and people that are not coming to church are not highly engaged. They're not Christ-centered. And if you look at other research, you know, whether it be Matt Kelly, who's an old pal, whether you look in other traditions, you know, for example, in Willow Creek, Bill Hybels, about 10 to 15% of a congregation or a parish are engaged. And that means that 85 to 90% are not engaged. So the opportunity there for spiritual growth is that of that 85 or 90%, Patrick, certainly I suspected, and it's borne out by the research, that maybe an additional 15 or 20% of that group that's not engaged, you know, should be relatively easy to reach. And, you know, it turns out there's spiritual tools, you know, there's a whole wide variety of techniques that are now available to pastors to not only measure the engagement, but also increase the engagement.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And is that, does that take place then through various types of programs? Is it more something that is kind of the nature of the community in fostering spiritual maturity, especially of those who are not engaged? Or is there some particular way that you've noticed that these great Catholic parishes, that they're aiming towards fostering spiritual maturity?
Well, they use a variety of tools.
Okay.
But they definitely, it has to be intentional.
Right. Oh, okay.
And, you know, so word. For example, some pastors use a Gallup tool. You know, Gallup, you and I know, and your audience probably knows, from the polling, the political polling.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole area of Gallup. George Gallup was a very strong Christian. There's a whole area of Gallup that's devoted to spirituality. And they've got this tool called the ME25 that has been taken by thousands of Catholic parishes. And it measures engagement. And then once you get your number, and the national average is about 18% for those who take the Gallup ME25, there's a whole toolkit. It's called Strength, you know, part of it is called Strength Finders.
Yeah.
So the parishioners, you probably are familiar with them.
Mm, yes, I am. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So next up, excelling on Sunday. What are we talking about there?
Well, you know, just as I said on the first theme, shared leadership, the key word is shared.
Okay.
I think the key concept on great parishes excel on Sundays is it doesn't begin on Sunday.
Mm.
It begins on Monday.
Okay, okay.
And it begins with small groups, it begins with social media, it begins with outreach from the staff and the pastor at the parish from Monday through Saturday.
Mm.
And that encourages people to come on Sunday. And then on Sunday, of course, there's many aspects. You know, obviously we got to start with the Eucharist. It's the source and the summit. But in addition, you got to have good music. You got to have good homilies. You got to have good hospitality.
Yeah, I'm
so if
sensing
we use those three ideas. You know, hymns,
yeah,
homilies, hospitality. I think you're gonna.
You've got alliteration. It must be valid then, right?
What do you think?
I like it. I like it. Hymns, homilies and hospitality. I like it. Okay, okay. My guest is William Simon, who is the author of Great Catholic Parishes, in which we're talking about the content and material of his book and what makes for a great Catholic parish. So I guess in the going on in that theme of excelling on Sunday and that sort of thing, the word that's popping into my head again is intentionality. It sounds like there's a lot of intentionality around what the Sunday encounter is going to be like.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen by accident. You know, I mentioned at the top of your program that I attend St. Monica's Church in Santa Monica, California.
Right.
And the pastor there, Lloyd Torgerson, is a good friend and a great pastor. And we came to St. Monica's 27 years ago. At that time, Monsignor Torgerson was the pastor he is today. There were 2,000 households.
Okay.
Today, there are 11,000 households.
Wow.
It didn't happen by accident.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. Wow. Okay, and the fourth area is evangelize. Now, that can be a scary word to a lot of Christians and especially to a lot of Catholics.
Totally.
I came from a Protestant evangelical background myself, and it was still a little disconcerting. And then, yeah. So what does it mean for a parish to evangelize?
Well, just take a step back for a sec. You're absolutely right. There's been a sea change in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we saw in our research. You know, when I was growing up, you know, you were not supposed to, quote, wear your faith on your sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were not, it didn't feel right. That's not what we were encouraged to do. And it could be, if you trace it back to the fact that, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you know, Catholics, you know, were not part of the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
But today, they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, you know, they occupy positions of influence throughout society. And so there's really no excuse anymore not to evangelize. And we find that, you know, almost 80% of this 244 group of parishes are focused on evangelization. Half of them say it's already a strength, and half of them say they're intentional and they've got programs in place. So what does it mean? Well, it could be as simple, Patrick, as inviting a friend. You know, like, for example, sometimes I'll invite a friend that is a lapsed Catholic or maybe not even a Catholic to come to St. Monica's. Lloyd Torgerson is a great homilist. And I say, you got to hear this guy talk. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be as simple as that. It might be outreach in the community. A lot of the parishes had programs of outreach, you know, get the word out, the word with a capital W.
Yeah.
And also the word that, you know, they want to be helpful because, you know, you obviously attract more bees with honey than you do with vinegar.
And yes, so I heard
you
that.
Get the word out like Pope Francis. And that's an area where I have to say I was really amazed by the research. So some people ask me, what was the most surprising finding? Well, I have to say that Pope Francis is unanimously, universally amongst this group, admired.
Hmm.
And of those 31 questions that we asked, not one was about Pope Francis. When we first started our interviews, Pope Francis hadn't even been, you know, anointed yet. And so a third of the pastors independently, spontaneously brought up Pope Francis. And what did many of them say? Well, they quote Pope Francis often by saying, think of the parish as a field hospital. You know, you bring in the wounded, and your first question is not, can I see your medical insurance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, let's fix the wounded, and then we'll worry about the rest later. So Francis is very pastoral, and he's encouraging evangelization. He's encouraging getting the message out that the parish is a place of spiritual health, spiritual comfort, spiritual help.
Fascinating. William Simon, the author of Great Catholic Parishes and the research that we've found therein, it sounds like an incredible resource, and I'm sure we'll pick up a lot of people reading it. I thank you for joining us on the program this morning, and we will be continuing to pray for you and ask for you to pray for us. Thank you, William.
Thank you very much, Patrick. God bless you and have a great weekend.
God bless you too. Thank you so much. The book is Great Catholic Parishes, and we are, as I said, the Office of Evangelization here in the Archdiocese is focusing on Great Catholic Parishes as well, and they want to hear your story. So if you are part of a great Catholic parish here in the Archdiocese and would like to find out more, go to rediscover-faith.org and click on Great Catholic Parishes. There's ideas, there's good ways of fostering those things that William Simon was just talking about, and also growing in your own personal relationship and having the ability to share what your parish is doing. And speaking of great Catholic parishes, we have now our shepherd on the line for the Archdiocese here. Your Excellency, good morning to you.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good to have you on the program. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. So we have something, a Marian consecration, an archdiocesan-wide Marian consecration coming up starting on Sunday. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. We had many requests, really from people all over the archdiocese, to do something in this 100th anniversary year of the apparitions in Fatima, and most specifically that we would do something to consecrate the Archdiocese again to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart.
Hmm.
And it sounded like it would be something that would be, it could be an important moment in the life of this Archdiocese, and we were certainly encouraged in that as well when we've learned that Cardinal Wuerl is going to be consecrating the United States.
Mm-hmm.
On the evening of October 13th, so the 100th anniversary of the great miracle in Fatima. He's going to be doing that at at the Basilica, at the National Shrine in Washington, D.C., and we were invited to really be in union with that action, and we had already been planning to do something that evening. We have an annual rosary procession. It's a very beautiful evening. And it just seemed like it was providential to be able to do all of these things together in this 100th anniversary year. But it seemed to me that we needed to prepare for it as well. And so in speaking with others, certainly in the Office for Evangelization and others here in the Archdiocese, as we were thinking, how could we prepare individually for that day, that consecration, it occurred to us that we really should be inviting our lay faithful and really all the faithful of the diocese to prepare in the way that St. Louis de Montfort encouraged us to prepare and to consecrate. And we're really blessed in at this time in our history that we have in the United States a wonderful program that Father Gately has set forth that really in 33 days, Morning Glory, that really distills the wisdom and of St. Louis de Montfort in a way that's very relevant, I think, to Americans in 2017. So our hope is that we might get people from across the diocese to follow Father Gately's approach over these 33 days, and that in that way we would prepare our hearts to give them to Mary, to take them to Jesus, on October 13th. So we're hoping people are going to get as excited about that as I am.
Yeah, excellent. Well, following your lead then. So essentially, logistically, what we need to do is just enter into the whole process outlined by Father Gately in the book of the same name, 33 Days to Morning Glory.
It's very easy. It's maybe reading 2 pages a day in a prayerful way and in being intentional about the preparation.
Yeah, very good. And you mentioned St. Louis de Montfort, just in case we have some listeners not familiar with St. Louis. Can you give us a little bit of information on him and his approach to Marian devotion?
Well, he had such a wonderful sense of being able to explain Marian devotion, and that really came through that act of consecration. But what St. Louis really gave to the church, too, was that the beautiful sense that that we can approach Jesus through Mary. So it's always our Christian faith is, of course, Christ-centered, but Mary has a very special role to play in that. And so that St. Louis de Montfort's idea of preparing for that consecration took us over the course of 4 weeks closer and closer to Mary, but in a way that was going to bring us to Jesus. And that certainly is still our hope today. Obviously, when we translate not only from French to English, but from the type of language that was used at the time of St. Louis de Montfort until today, it can be somewhat off-putting. And so I think that's really the great gift that Father Gately brought to this, was that it's in a language that today's people can certainly understand, and also draws on insights from some of the more modern saints, St. Teresa of Calcutta, for example, and St. John Paul, in a way that really helps us, I think, to enter into that period of preparation for the consecration.
Right. The book is 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Michael Gately, and this is all in anticipation of the centennial anniversary of Our Lady's apparitions at Fatima. And I'm told, Archbishop, that if people actually don't start it on Sunday, that they can still join in. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, so it's one way that there's nothing magic about this. Huh?
Right.
But the idea was, St. Louis de Montfort had this sense that this was something that was going to take some time. It's obviously a proven method for entering into for preparing our hearts to be able to give them to Mary. But it's nothing that's magic. That's nothing as particular to those days. But it gave us a process. And so really it's that the idea of preparing our own hearts to be able to really entrust them to Mary.
Wonderful. Archbishop, may we have a blessing from you for all of our listeners?
Sure. On this beautiful feast of the Nativity of Our Lady, we ask, Lord, that you might place within our hearts that same docility that was in Mary's heart. May we imitate her in our approach to all that you call us to do. May we be willing to give our yes as she gave her yes. And in all things, may we do your will. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, descend upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, happy feast day to you, Archbishop, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patrick. God bless you.
God bless. So we will be back right after this with so many other things that we can increase our devotion to our Lord and our Lady right after this. Stay with us. Rediscover.
John Harper of Morning Air.
Anthony Ryan is our guest. Explain the connection and why the Divine Mercy message is such a powerful devotion in the connection to Faustina.
When our Lord appeared to St. Faustina, who was a nun in Poland, early in the 20th century, and gave her the revelations of his divine mercy, it was like his last, greatest effort to reach us with the whole message of how much he loves us. And so one of the things he asked her to do is promote the prayer, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And it's just a short, simple prayer asking for Jesus' mercy and honoring his passion. And it's powerful. So this is a message that anyone should respond to, because we all know we need God's mercy. And it's by far the fastest spreading devotion in the church.
And it's one of the devotions that's on our Relevant Radio app as well. It'll take you 8 minutes to pray. Or if you've never heard the Hour of Power, as Drew calls it, 4 o'clock Eastern and 3 o'clock Central Time, you can pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet here on Relevant Radio.
You shatter my darkness, wash away.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Joining me, as always, Paul Sadek.
Here I am.
Is in the house.
I'm in the house. You can't get rid of me.
Kick us off there, Paul.
All right. Well, you can be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
Here we go. Just what we were talking about, Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins invite you to join in an Archdiocesan Marian consecration. In preparation for the consecration, Father Michael Gately's 33 Days to Morning Glory is recommended and should begin by Sunday, September 10th. That's this Sunday, folks. This fulfillment of this consecration will take place on Friday, October 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Archbishop Hebda will conclude this consecration by celebrating Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul at 5:15 p.m.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally, Tuesday, September 12th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. John the Baptist Church in New Brighton. Bishop Andrew Cousins will speak on devotion to Mary and diligence in battle. The Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There'll be time for adoration and confession. Dinner will be provided. Registration not required, but a free will offering will be collected. For more information, thecatholicwatchman.org, or check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/thecatholicwatchmen.
Father John Eckert will be leading a six-week fall Bible study on the Gospel of John, the Beloved Apostle. This study will take place at Holy Spirit Catholic Church in St. Paul on Wednesday evening, September 13th through October 18th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The cost is $20 per person and includes materials. To register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
The Archdiocese and Outreach to Persons with Disabilities invites you to the annual Mass for Persons with Disabilities on Sunday, September 17th, 3 p.m. at St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary. Mass celebrant will be Bishop Andrew Cousins. And you can get more information at archsbm.org. Trying to do three things at once.
Yeah, I know. That's my fault.
What do we have coming up next week?
Next week, yeah. I'm glad you asked, Paul. So next week, we are going to talk about environmental stewardship. Yeah. With Dr. Christopher Thompson from the St. Paul Seminary and Jim Ennis, who is the executive director of the Catholic Rural Life Conference. Catholic Rural Life is a national Catholic nonprofit dedicated to the vitality of American countryside, and it's headquartered right here in St. Paul. Dr. Christopher Thompson teaches at St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity and teaches a course on principles of stewardship and sustainability. That's what's coming up next week. You know, as we go forward into this birthday of Our Lady, once again, offer yourself in devotion to her and to her son. That's probably the best gift that we could possibly give her. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.